This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The Pakatan Harapan government, in its election manifesto, previously pledged to increase renewable energy from the current 2% to 20% by 2025 to 2030, and to make renewable energy affordable and accessible in Malaysia. The Ministry of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, or MESTEC for short, have recently launched several programs and announced some key policy changes, all geared towards making this a reality. And I find out more about this game plan from YB Rajiv Rishakaran. He's a special officer to the MESTEC Minister, YB Yobi Yin. So Rajiv, tell me a little bit about your new role under the special officer to the MESTEC Minister.
Hi, it's good to be back on the show. Well, I assist her in initiatives that she wants to get done. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite a wide-ranging job. So just about everything. We do just about everything that the ministry does.
Okay, and I imagine it must have been a very challenging past few months since May.
It has been, and it's been interesting. It's been a steep learning curve as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's all good. We've got a lot of things that we want to get done. We want to improve, and the results of all this planning and getting things into place is starting to be announced now. Especially when you talk about energy, there's mm-hmm. loads that we want to improve, environment, science, tech. I think everyone's familiar with the single-use plastics. I think that's one of the thrusts that we want to focus on this term. Mm-hmm. Energy is another one.
Yep.
And getting renewable energies online, because the world is moving forward. I think Malaysia has been lagging behind all these years. So when we took over government, we're standing at 2% RE. Excluding large hydros, 2%, and we need to raise that up. So Harapan put in its manifesto a target of 20% by the year 2025.
Yeah.
A lot of industry players tell us it's a very steep target, a very ambitious target, but we're going to try our best to hit that.
I mean, how big is an issue of power generation here in Malaysia?
It's big because, you know, every one of us uses power.
Mm-hmm.
I think to some extent, maybe we take it for granted that electricity is always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we will not be happy if we have even a 10-minute interruption
yes.
to electricity, let alone a day or two. So it is extremely important that we keep to keep the lights on, to keep power flowing, to keep power stable. You know, the issues of power spikes or brownouts that maybe can damage equipment, but thankfully doesn't arise here. It does in some countries, and it must not happen here. So we need reliable power, and we need affordable power because we don't want to pay an arm and a leg for mm-hmm. electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And we need green power because we don't want to pollute the planet in getting this power.
Yeah, I mean, we are signatories to the Paris Agreement, so, you yep. know, there's a lot that we've promised. And, I mean, under this ministry as well, you've, I mean, added the word climate change in it, I suppose.
Yes,
to specifically...
because that is very important.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so tell me a little bit about how you're working in that area. So we're focusing, obviously, on energy today, and renewable energy, obviously, is something
yes.
that YBO is very, very keen on. How is that going? I mean, how is she tackling? It's a monster.
It is. It is. It's a huge ministry. It's a ministry of many functions. But there's a lot of synergy between the different sections of the ministry. And I think we talk about climate change. One of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gases is the energy sector.
Mm-hmm.
And so having it under one roof, you know, helps us drive forward a master plan. And if... And as we grow renewable energy over the next 5 to 10 years, that will also mean a decrease in greenhouse gases over the next 10 years. So in order to meet our 35% voluntary target of reduction,
yep.
and then a further 10% subject to the first world country contributions,
yeah.
financial and tech transfer contributions,
yes.
We have a game plan to get there.
Okay.
So we have there is a map to get there, and there is things that we need to do. And one of the big things that we need to do is to change our energy source.
Mm-hmm. I was just remembering that last month, I think it was Prime Minister Tun Mahathir who actually said that we need to start digging for coal over in Sabah. And I mean, that doesn't sound very promising.
It may sound scary to hear things like that, but the reality is we're not going to do away with coal altogether just yet.
Because we can't, right?
Because, you know, as you know, we just talked about a few minutes ago, that even that 20% target of renewable energy is what the industry says is extremely ambitious to somehow get that much renewable energy installed in such a short time.
Yeah.
So primarily the coal and gas powers Malaysians. Hydro is actually a small part of our power mix, mm-hmm. With the exception of in Sarawak. But if you talk about outside Sarawak, it's still fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And we want to bring that down. We want to reduce future plant ups of gas and coal, but we can't say we can shut them down anytime soon. So,
okay.
I mean, these are the stark realities. I mean, the only way you can get renewables up to 80% so fast, so soon, is if we triple electricity tariffs. And we're definitely not going down that road. It's not even being considered. So, you know, listeners out there, don't worry. it is never going to happen. The minister has been very clear. We're not going to compromise on electricity tariffs.
Okay.
I think the affordability and how it affects a lot of Malaysians, the top 20% can afford the luxury of increasing tariffs, but most Malaysians are financially struggling. Economy is not that great, and cost of living pushes have been hard on most Malaysian families over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not going to make things harder on the ordinary families, especially the B40 and the middle class. So it is it is always a trifecta. Energy cost is very important. Energy reliability is important, and as well as energy sustainability is important. We are going to work on getting sustainability up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd have seen that the recent announcements over the last couple of weeks have demonstrated that we are serious about energy sustainability, but it will not come at the price of energy affordability.
Okay, and let's talk about, you know, those announcements that have come up. Tell me about that. You know, we're trying to get more solar energy going. We're trying to get that, you know, more accessible to people like you and me, you know, in our homes. And how is that being done?
So renewable energy has a few types in Malaysia. We've got small hydros, micro hydros. These are not the large hydros that have large, huge dams. So these are just smaller ones at the rivers. We've got biomass and biogas, and we've got solar.
Okay.
So the ones which are the most democratized, I mean, the easiest that can just flow down to every one is solar. The other three are specialized companies, are for the domain of specialized companies. But solar is for everyone. As long as you have a roof, you can have a solar panel. You can be generating electricity for your own consumption and even possibly to sell some of it back to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done is that we have changed some of the rules, some of the policies to further promote the adoption of solar. So there is already some amount of solar adoption in this country.
Okay.
But it's very small. It really can be much, much more. And if you stand here at the windows overlooking this housing area out of BFM's office, overlooking the Tamantun upper middle class housing, you would see there are virtually no solar panels on any roof.
Yeah.
And we want to see improvement to that. And towards that, there are a few initiatives.
Okay, and walk me through those initiatives.
So the first one would be the fact that solar panels are expensive and not many people want to spend the money or can afford to spend the money to buy them up front. And so we are pushing for solar leasing, mm-hmm. as well as solar PPA, so power purchasing agreement. So what that means is that we are promoting the industry to move towards solar leasing. A company would put the panel and lease it to you monthly, rather than charging you upfront. So instead of charging you, say, 20,000 ringgit for the panel, they'll put the panel at their investment, their costs, and then they charge you, may say, 250, 300 ringgit a month lease.
Wow, that's
a month,
yeah,
for the solar energy. And then this offsets, you know, so you consume far less from DNB because you have this source of solar energy, mm-hmm. coming in from your panel. So that's one direction. And then the other direction is solar PPA, because some people feel that, you know, leasing is good. It solves my cash flow problem. It solves my affordability problem, but I'm not sure if it's a better deal, because maybe a lot of people are not yet conscious about being green and may not want to pay a premium for electricity. So the solar PPA model means that the solar company puts a solar panel at their upfront cost.
Okay.
And then they sell you the electricity per kilowatt hour. So you buy electricity per kilowatt hour anyway.
Yeah.
So you pay TNB. If you're consuming a little bit of electricity, you pay quite low tariffs, such like 20 cents or 30, then it goes up to 30 cents. Then it hits the higher band, the 51 cents, 54 cents, and 57 cents. Oh, that's a killer. That's at that price, the 51, 54, and 57 cents band, that is in the solar territory. So a solar company can put a panel at their cost and charge you less than 51 cents, maybe 45 cents, maybe 40 cents for the solar energy. And they would be profitable in doing so, as well as you would save electricity, because the energy that you consume from the solar means you don't consume the electricity from TNB and you're paying less per kilowatt hour to the solar power producer. And then you're, but you're still connected to TNB. So whenever the solar is not available, say at night or when it's raining, you have the TNB supply.
Okay.
So you'll take some power from TNB and you'll take some power from the solar. And that will be the lowest hanging fruit that we can put out there. And so we're encouraging companies to adopt this model. All right. And and we've had a few companies that have already announced, who have welcomed this direction and have already announced that they are moving into this. And so now solar has become affordable. So last time it used to scare people.
Yes,
you know, it's like, I need to spend 20,000 ringgit, then 30,000 ringgit. But now you don't have to spend anything up front. So you can contact any of these companies. You can start Googling them because they're starting to promote themselves online already.
Okay.
All right. But you can contact any of these solar producers and you can discuss with them, because different producers will give different rates and maybe tie in different conditions, different contract lengths. So it's a free market, but we want to boost that market. So now you've got many options. Power used to be, Malaysians have gotten used to certain things. And Malaysians are used to certain things, like we're so used that petrol must be a fixed price. You know, everywhere in the world, petrol fluctuates every day or even halfway during the day. But in Malaysia, we're so used that petrol must be a fixed price. You know, it doesn't matter that other goods fluctuate every day, that, you know, every time you buy something in Giant, the price goes up and down. That's okay, but petrol cannot. Petrol must be fixed. You know, Malaysians are used to that. Malaysians are used that power price is fixed. Malaysians are used that power only comes from TNB. Now it's changing. Power can come from a lot of different sources. TNB is still going to be the main supplier, but you're going to have many solar generators out there, many solar power producers out there. So this is options for the consumer. Consumers can go with leasing if they prefer that, or consumers can go with the solar PPA options.
Okay. And this is not just for households, is it? It's for businesses. It's for pretty much anybody.
It's actually, the companies are more targeting the businesses, the commercials and the industrials, but it's also open for houses. So the same thing that can work in a house can also work in a shop, can also work in a factory. It's the same concept.
It's like you said, as long as you have a roof.
Long as you have a roof. The challenge lies if you don't have a roof. So say a condominium. Then it'd be a bit challenge. It'd be harder for you. You need to strike a deal with your management as to if you can use a portion of the roof for your own solar panel, or the condominium could get the solar installed for all the common use. Because these buildings have a lot of common space and energy use, the lifts, the corridor lighting, the water pumps, the swimming pool. So those building managements should consider things like this. But as long as you have a roof, you can do this.
Right. And like you said, that would also help to subsidize things like monthly utility costs for condominium owners.
That's right. So because over time, over the last many years, solar prices, the solar panel prices have dropped tremendously. It used to be very expensive, but it's still expensive upfront if you were to buy it upfront. So let's say a typical setup for a house, I think you would want to spend about 20, you'll need to spend about 20,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
A similar setup in a shop, 20,000 ringgit, maybe 30 to 40,000 because you might need more energy in a shop lot. And it's still expensive, although it's much cheaper than what it was 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. So it's much cheaper now. And now it makes financial sense for us to promote solar PPA as an option. And the industry is ready to, and the industry is. So the minister launched this at the IGEM, the expo, last week. Just last week. And there has been tremendous amount of interest out there for this. because it really is a game changer, because the whole concept of having to put huge amounts of money up front, even though it's worth it, the free electricity is there. If you put the money up front, it's free electricity. For the solar panels can probably last you like 25, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like free electricity for a very long time.
It's
but
just,
if you have the cash, or if you're willing to put the cash.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to, you can actually go this way and you can actually save. So, you know, over the next 1 year, companies that talk about sustainability and being green, you know, multinational companies, American companies that are here, companies that are public listed and want to talk about sustainability should seriously consider signing up with a solar power producer.
Are there fixed companies that are, you know, allowed to do this, or is it any company that
there are some regulations to sign up as a solar installer, but it's open. As in, we're not restricting it to 3 or 4 or 5 companies. We are allowing as many players who want to get into the game to get in the game. But there are certain requirements they have to meet, competency and whatnot. We don't want the solar electricity to be messing up the grid and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And talk to me a little bit about feed-in tariff. You know, I was reading that there's been a recent quota revocation and new quota release. Is that all related to this as
well? It is somewhat related, but let's walk through it. So we've talked about how we want to see a change in the financial model of acquiring solar energy. Now, let's move to the next step. We used to have these feed-in tariffs. So feed-in tariffs is when solar panels were really expensive and the government paid a feed-in tariff. That means if you generated solar, you could sell that to the grid for a cost that was far more than what the coal and gas power plant guys were selling electricity to the grid. So that premium was what is what we call the feed-in tariff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it is not just big players that feed into the grid, but even a house, a shop, by putting a small solar panel could feed into the grid and they would earn money
back,
through the feed-in tariff. So we have since stopped feed-in tariffs for solar because the prices of solar has come down and the economics of solar has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now there's no more feed-in tariffs for solar. We still have feed-in tariffs for the other renewable energies like biogas and the biomass and the small hydros. But for solar, we have ended the feed-in tariffs. But what we have introduced, also announced last week, was a new mechanism of net energy metering.
Yes, NEM as it's, yeah.
Yes, NEM. So net energy metering means the energy that you consume from the grid will be offsetted with the energy that you export to the grid.
Okay.
So if, let's say, your solar panel produces a lot of energy in the afternoon, but you're at home. You're not at home. You're out working. So in the afternoon, you export 400 kilowatt hours to the grid.
Right.
Then at night, when you're home, you're running all your air cons. Let's say in total, you consume 600 kilowatt hours from the grid. So TNB will only bill you the net consumption, which is 200 kilowatt hours.
Okay.
So this policy makes your solar panel very viable because the energy that you generate when you are not, and you, which you don't use immediately, you can sell it to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't get cash, but it offsets with the energy that you consume from the grid. So the nature of solar is that it produces electricity when the sun is out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some cases, let's say you run a 24-hour fast food restaurant. Your aircon is on round the clock. So the solar energy that you produce, you're just going to consume it.
Yeah.
So then the issue of selling to the grid may not arise. But let's say it's a house and, you know, father, mother is out working, children are out to school. The fridge is still on, but that's probably all the consumption there is during the daytime.
Yeah.
Then that energy is not wasted, but rather that energy is then exported into the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than TNB paying you wholesale prices, TNB is offsetting. So that's the change in policy.
Okay.
And this change in policy makes solar a lot more viable.
Okay. And this has already been, it's done. This
policy was announced last week and it takes effect 1st January.
You guys had a very busy week last week, didn't you?
We've had a busy few months leading up to what we announced last week.
Okay. All right. So moving forward then, I was looking at CEDA. They've signed 3 memorandums of understanding with Asian Development Bank, Japanese Business Alliance. And I mean, what's all of that about?
All right. So we want to promote energy efficiency. So
mm-hmm.
that was the MOU with the Japanese to exchange know-how on that. With the Asian Development Bank, they are helping us to develop a renewable energy roadmap. This is long term. We're going to develop a roadmap till 2035. Okay. So while we are making a lot of policy decisions this year, we also want to also make a longer-term roadmap of the way forward. And we've set the target of that 20% by 2025. But, you know, let's start developing what happens after that, beyond that, maybe up to 2035. And so that's the roadmap that we want to work on. Mm-hmm. So while we are spending a lot of energy on today and making policy changes today, we also want to make plans for the coming 20 years. And then we've also gotten one MOU signed to promote insurance, actually, for home-based solar. So now, you know, solar on your rooftop, previously we had no insurance, and now we do. Now there's one company that is providing insurance, and we hope and we want to encourage more companies to come on the marketplace. Because, you know, as we're going to get more solar panels and roofs, you know, things could happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why we want insurance. Okay. Just like we have insurance for a whole bunch of other things.
Okay.
All right. All right. And the last thing, you mentioned APX just now. APX is an exchange. We have this thing called renewable energy certificate. So if you're generating renewable energy, so say solar or even biogas, and because you are exporting it to the grid somewhat, you know, because there are times when you have excess and you are exporting it to the grid, and this energy that you're selling to the grid is being consumed by someone, and there's a premium to it, because in the case of the solar, TNB is paying you retail price for it, the energy, instead of paying you wholesale price.
Right.
In the case of the feed-in tariff, you know, there's always a premium associated with renewable energy today. And these renewable energy certificates enable companies or people who said, I want to be green, to buy the certificates and to pay the premium that is incurred in generating the green power.
Okay.
Yeah. So green power at the moment still costs a bit more than black power.
Of course.
And some companies want to demonstrate, or some people, they want to demonstrate that my consumption is green. So I'll buy this, by buying the certificates, you are paying that premium that exists. Mm-hmm. And these certificates are tradable. So the producers of green power can sell the certificates and it's traded on an exchange.
So this is mostly for businesses though, or, but like you said,
it tends to be normally dominated by multinationals. So, you know, Google wants to be green, Apple wants to be green. So, you know, they will go around looking for renewable energy certificates to buy.
Okay.
But at the same time, there are some small companies that also have convictions and want to do so. And there are some individuals who have convictions and want to do so. Okay. It's not limited to the big boys, but it just tends to be in the domain of the big boys generally.
Is it because of cost and things like that?
I think it's, I mean, you are going, when you buy these certificates, you are basically transferring the premium that of producing the renewable energy. And not many companies have that policy or conviction to do so. Yeah. So so far the companies that have these goals to be powered fully by renewable energy are normally the bigger companies. Mm-hmm. But there are some small ones. But anyway, the exchange is open to all. It's not something that's reserved or restricted for the bigger boys. It's something that it's available for everyone. It just doesn't appeal as much to the smaller companies or individuals at the moment. But I think as awareness grows over the coming years, it may change.
Okay. All of this sounds like wonderful things. It sounds like, especially this is very user-targeted. It's going to be very beneficial, especially for, you know, just people like me, right? Living.
It's going to be beneficial for everyone.
For everyone,
From huge factories to warehouses, to shopping malls, to houses in shop lots, you know, from the big boys to the small houses, you know, everyone can benefit from this. And I think the big crux is the PPA, the solar PPA, that the ability to purchase solar by paying per kilowatt hour consumed. Mm-hmm. And because every company that's getting in the game is going to offer a rate that is slightly lower than TNB's rate.
Of course.
The TNB standard tariff. And when that is so, you only pay the solar, you pay for the solar energy that you consume. And whenever you consume solar, you save a few cents per kilowatt hour compared to TNB. And whenever solar is not available, when the sun is not out and you are consuming TNB power, you are you're paying what you already are paying today. So everyone gets a lower bill if you have a solar panel on your roof. Yeah, okay. I think there's just no, it's quite hard for you to be on the wrong side of this financially. It's quite hard for you to be paying more than paying less, mm-hmm. Because of the scheme that, I mean, because of the way that the thing is structured, you would be paying less mm-hmm. in energy bills if you get a solar panel on your roof. So shop around. I would advocate don't jump to the first solar PPA company that comes across your way. There are quite a number of companies out there, and I think more will get into the game
with this announcement.
With this announcement, mm-hmm. Shop around and. And be selective in how you choose one. Be very mindful of the contract periods. I mean, there's always contract periods for everything that you sign up with. So be mindful of what contract periods you have to tie yourself in. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of what rates that they are offering you.
Okay.
And you would save energy and you would help the planet while doing so.
All right. And why didn't this happen sooner, Rajiv? Why do you think this
happened? I think you could have called the previous government to come in, maybe on the breakfast grill. To answer you that.
Well, never mind. It's very promising to see that this is happening. It sounds like a win-win situation for everybody, especially the planet. So, okay. So we will look forward to more happening in this area.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rajiv. That was YB Rajiv Rishakaran, a special officer to the MESTEC Minister and also the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, talking to us about MESTEC's plans to make renewable energy more accessible and affordable in Malaysia. Rajiv will also be on Live and Learn tomorrow at 3 p.m. as well for his monthly local government show. And this time he'll be discussing bad neighbours with host Chua and Tech. So don't miss that. But if you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.